You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 7th of October, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we would normally have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us today, but he is still recovering from illness. I am hoping that he will be better for next week's podcast. There has been some improvement. And if you wish to help him, then you could always send him a donation or you could purchase one of his books. And you can do that at theorthodoxnationalist.wordpress.com. And today we're going to continue with the subject that we were talking about yesterday. And as I did yesterday, I will preface the podcast with the same. Today, we're talking about this subject not because we are trying to incite hate against the Afghans, but because we wish to draw attention to the way they have been harmed by the West, and we wish to draw attention to the negative effects of multiculturalism, which is a policy which our governments have in the West. Essentially, the only way that we can mitigate these problems that we see happening in society is by changing government policy. But in order to flesh out the reasons why we need that policy to be changed, then we have to talk about the negative effects that multiculturalism has brought with it. And the subject of today's podcast, once again, is Bakabazi, which is the rape of little boys by grown men, which, as we learned yesterday, has a long history in Afghanistan, and it is seen as culturally acceptable, or at least it was until the Taliban took power. And when the Taliban took power, they executed the people involved in this. When the West went in there and occupied Afghanistan, although it still remained illegal, no punishments were handed out. And the people that were involved in this were the police and the warlords. And they formed part of the administration that worked with the West. So the people that were working with the West, the collaborators, a certain portion of them were involved in this vile practice. So it increased. When the West went over there, this pedophilia, this abuse of children, it increased, and it was seen as increasing because the West had occupied the country under the Taliban. The people responsible were executed for this. So obviously the West is not going to be liked by the majority of Afghans, the ones with families, the ones with children that may have been abused by these monsters. So we obviously knew about this in the West, and now that the Taliban have taken over, the people who are most likely to be wanting to actually leave Afghanistan are those that have been involved in this Bakabazi. And on top of that, our governments are accepting as refugees people that worked with the occupiers. And it was the people that worked with the occupiers that were involved in this Bakabazi. Obviously not all of them. I'm obviously not saying that every Afghan refugee that comes to the West is a child rapist. What I am saying is there is likely to be a certain portion of these Afghan refugees that are child rapists. And you can find that out just by looking on Wikipedia about this. So where is this being talked about? Why is this not being talked about by the government? Why have they not reassured us that there will be nobody that's been involved in Bakabazi that will be coming over to the West? Rather than that, we've been told that, especially by Joe Biden, that he is most concerned about LGBT rights in Afghanistan. And the law that they had over there, that the Taliban were enforcing, it linked homosexuality with this Bakabazi practice, because it was grown men that were raping boys. It was homosexual pedophilia. So not only are we bringing back into our country, or bringing into our countries, the people that are most likely to be linked to this practice because they are collaborators with the occupation government. It was mainly the police that were involved in this, the security services. But we will also be bringing over here homosexuals, and the homosexual community are also most likely to be involved in this child abuse. So we haven't just increased the threat to the Afghan children for the last 20 years, but our governments are now increasing the threat to our own children. And by doing this, and of course the Taliban themselves, they're going to be quite happy to get rid of these people, aren't they? Taliban themselves are going to be suggesting that the West takes these Bakabazi people, these child rapists, because then they get rid of them. The Taliban don't want them. And the Afghans, the way the Afghans see it, it seems to me like this as well, as if the West supports this. And we'll learn more about that today. And all this information is publicly available. It's freely available. It's available on Wikipedia. All you have to do is look up the Wikipedia page on Bakabazi to see this this absolutely disgusting endorsement of this by the West. And we'll continue with this now from the Wikipedia page. In 2015, the New York Times reported that US soldiers serving in Afghanistan were instructed by their commanders to ignore child sexual abuse being carried out by Afghan security forces. They were told to ignore it, except when rape is being used as a weapon of war. So they were supposed to just ignore it when it went on within the communities, when the police were doing this to the boys that they were supposed to be policing, and it was only supposed to be prevented by the American military if it was used in some kind of a battle. So I guess they're saying if it was rape of women, then they're supposed to intervene, but if it's rape of little boys, that's okay. And this is in the New York Times that they reported this. American soldiers have been instructed not to intervene. In some cases, not even when their Afghan allies have abused boys on military bases. So right in full view, actually on the military bases, on the occupiers' bases, that is where this is going on. And we heard in the episode yesterday about how one of these police chiefs just bragged about it. He bragged about having tying a teenage boy to a bed and raping him for 2 weeks. And he bragged about this in front of the American soldiers. And two courageous American soldiers carried out some swift justice upon him. And they were then taken to court. They were kicked out of the army and they were taken to court for doing this. So what does that say to the Afghan people? It says that the allies, the West, liberal democracy, supports this. But the US soldiers became increasingly troubled that instead of weeding out pedophiles, the US military was arming them against the Taliban and placing them as the police commanders of villages, and doing little when they began abusing children. I mean, it's absolutely blatant. The West, the globalists, they actually put these people in power. They knew that they were child rapists, and they put them in charge of villages as police commanders, and they armed them. So, of course, the people most likely to want to leave Afghanistan now are going to be these people, aren't they? Because not only are the Taliban going to be after them for being collaborators, they are also going to be after them for being child abusers. They're going to be desperate to get out of the country. I wonder how many of them have already managed to get out of the country. Our governments aren't talking about specifically vetting them for this. According to a report published in June 2017 by the Special Investigator General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, the DOD had received 5,753 vetting requests of Afghan security forces, some of which related to sexual abuse. The DOD was investigating 75 reports of gross human rights violations, including 7 involving child sexual assault. According to the New York Times, discussing that report, American law required that military aid be cut off to the offending unit. But that never happened. And US Special Forces officer Captain Dan Quinn was relieved of his command in Afghanistan after fighting an Afghan militia commander who had been responsible for keeping a boy as a sex slave. So not only did we not cut the military aid off to a unit that was involved in this child rape, but when a Special Forces captain tries to stand up for these poor children and goes for the militia commander that's been raping them, he's relieved of his command. This is why the Afghans supported the Taliban. This is why they handed their weapons over to them. And this is why we call globalism globo homo, because this is what goes on in these countries that we liberate. We liberate them and we make them safe for pedophiles. Not only do we make them safe for pedophiles, we empower these pedophiles. We give them weapons and we make them into the police force of the village there. And then we offer them a safe passage out of the country when the people of the country take control once again. Well, let's have a look at how this features in fiction. And I mentioned yesterday that I saw a film about this, and I can remember being really shocked by how graphic it was and how gratuitous it was. It seemed to me as if the film was trying to actually appeal to pedophiles. I mean, why do they have to be so graphic in showing what actually happened here? And this film was of this novel. In the 2003 fictional novel, The Kite Runner, by Afghan-American author Khaled Hosseini, and in the 2007 movie of the same name, the protagonist, Amir's half-nephew, is forced to become a Bakabazi sexual slave to a high-ranking official of the Taliban government. So it's propaganda that tells the opposite of the truth, trying to pretend that it was the Taliban that supported this Bakabazi when it wasn't. It was the occupation government. The same official had years earlier raped the boy's father when he was a preteen, and the official was a teenager. But Amir manages to free the boy and takes him away from Afghanistan to start a new life in the United States. So this is a piece of propaganda, basically. And I can remember, as I say, I can remember seeing this and thinking it was really, really good, gratuitous. And remember yesterday we heard from a Huffington Post journalist that saw a documentary on this, and he was fascinated by it. The musical The Boy Who Danced on Air by Rosser and Soane premiered on Broadway in 2017. Inspired by the Dancing Boys of Afghanistan documentary, which we heard about yesterday, it follows Payman, a Bakabazi who is growing older and will be released from slavery soon. He meets Fida, a fellow Bakabazi, and the two consider running away as they fall in love. In the background, Payman and Fida's masters, Jahanda and Zamar, reckon with America's influence on Afghanistan's society. So they're basically endorsing this, aren't they? They're saying, oh, it's all okay if you're raped by an older man, because you can fall in love with somebody else that also got raped by an older man. Wouldn't it be more of a happy ending if he managed to break away from this child rapist, and instead of appearing to be condoning what's happened to him, he actually went and got himself a wife and settled down? I should imagine the Afghans really were quite offended at this. You see, they're trying to make the Bakabazi out to be heroes here, but in actual fact, you have them doing something which also had the death penalty in Afghanistan. You have them becoming homosexual at the end of it. So really, it says that people that are Bakabazi in Afghanistan, it's going to turn the Afghans even more against these Bakabazis by saying that they're homosexual anyway. So it really didn't help these poor children to be making a musical like this. I mean, think of that, making a musical, a song and dance about it. Again, this shows that the way that America looks on this, or this is how it looks to the world that is outside the Western world, it looks like America condones this and we support this. And on top of that, then you get the... you get the occupation forces raising the rainbow flag, the gay pride flag in Kabul. That happened about a month before the Afghans rose up and overthrew the occupation government. I guess they just had enough of this stuff being promoted. They don't want their children to be raped. Imagine that. Look over at America and they make a musical out of this. They make a song and dance out of it. And they make the boys out to be heroes and have a happy ending because they end up sodomizing one another. I mean, it's just going to turn the Afghans completely against America. And we wonder why the West is not welcome in these countries. The production received positive to mixed reviews. Jesse Green, writing for the New York Times, said the work took the challenge of difficult source material too far. The ick factor here is dangerously high, a problem that the production labours hard to mitigate through aesthetics. Yes, I should imagine it must have been quite difficult depicting child rape at the same time singing a song about it and doing a dance. Jesse Green appreciated the romance, but wished it had not attempted a stab at political relevance. See, they're trying to normalise this by making it into a musical. And then you can compare this to, as I said yesterday, this phenomenon of trans kids that we have now, children under the age of 10 that are dressing up in drag and it's made out to be a wonderful thing by the Western media. And again, the Afghans see this and they link it. And I would say that they're not wrong in linking it to this horrible tradition that they have within their own countries. And they see that we make these children out that dress up in drag to be heroic on the mainstream television over here. And then when we go over to Afghanistan, we put the people that do this to these children, that abuse these children, we put them in power. It really doesn't make the West look very good, does it? To say the least. Jonathan Mandel, writing for New York Theatre, said that the Jahanda subplot was one of the ways Rosser and Sohn are trying to compensate for their Western perspective and the show's focus on the fictional romance, but their efforts at filling in the background don't strike me as sufficient. So they're basically trying to Westernize this. Theatre Mania's review called it both emotionally and intellectually stirring. Anyone who cares about the future of the American musical should run out and see it now, as should anyone who cares about the country in which the United States is presently fighting the longest war in our history. So he thought this was good. It's like that the Kite Runner fiction as well that tried to portray it as being something that the Taliban were involved in. That got really good reviews. I mean, that was the reason why I watched it, is because it got all these really good reviews. And then I was absolutely disgusted at what I saw within it. And I can remember thinking, why were these people saying that this was such a great film to see? I mean, it's a horrible film to see. And imagine here, they're romanticizing it and making a song and dance about it. After an online stream of the original production was released in July 2020, the work received significant backlash from Afghans. So that's a year ago that the Afghans actually saw this, particularly LGBT Afghans, who perceive it as romanticizing child sexual abuse. I would agree with them. That's exactly what it is. It is romanticizing it. And they criticized the white American writers for orientalism and misrepresenting Bakabazi as an accepted tradition. in Afghanistan. Well, Wikipedia tends to portray it as, as a tradition, but clearly it's not accepted because the Taliban were against it. I guess it's an unwanted tradition that that they have, which is now going to be put a stop to because the Taliban are there. The backlash led many to apologize for their involvement with the production and the stream, and the stream was removed ahead of schedule. And it looks like when it was on in Broadway that it was actually taken off. I think it was only on there for about a year. After consulting with members of the Afghan community, creators Tim Rosser and Charlie Sohn acknowledged in a statement that no Afghan voices were empowered in the creation of the show, and chose to end all distribution of the music and donate previous proceeds to Afghan charities. Well, rather than empowering any Afghan voices, they really slandered the boys that were involved in this, and they made them out to be that the same as the people that were doing it to them. They linked them to homosexuals. And in the mind of the Afghans, homosexualism is linked to this Bakabazi. It is linked to child abuse. So if they then show the victims of the child abuse as becoming homosexual, they're effectively saying to them, well, they're the same sort of people. So it certainly didn't empower the Afghans. But the real concern about all of this is, why are our government's not talking about this? Why are they not saying, we guarantee that when we bring these Afghan refugees over here, that there will be no police among them, no police commanders, no warlords, no, it really should be nobody that actually worked with the occupation government, because it was these people that helped to actually form this administration. They were the ones that were most keen. They were the ones most keen to work with the occupiers. And of course, what do we see when we see the boats coming over from France? We see lots of young men in those boats. It's very rare that we actually see women and children. When we look at the hold of the American plane that was filled up with Afghan refugees, again, we see very few women and children. And I mean, it really, learning this really does add a different dimension to the images that we saw of all those Afghans running to try and climb onto that plane that was leaving. This gives us an idea of why it was that they were running from their own countrymen, and why it was all men that were running. I mean, you didn't see any women that were trying to get out of the country then. It's scandalous that this was allowed to go on by the West, but this is the image that we have in these other countries. Look at what America did a couple of years back. They forced Botswana to change their law on homosexuality. The West is just seen as forcing homosexuality around the world, and this is linked to liberal democracy. And rightly or wrongly, in these countries around the world, pedophilia is also linked to homosexuality. So they look and they see us and they say, well, the West and liberal democracy, it promotes pedophilia. And then they see what we're promoting to our children. They see that we now have children's cartoons with homosexuals in them, children going to gay pride. They see that in the schools now, we've got the children celebrating gay pride and waving rainbow flags, and they see these programs on these trans kids, and they say, well, we don't want any of that. And the East says we don't want any of that either. Russia says we don't want any of that. Poland says we don't want any of that. And the EU tries to force Poland to go along with it and says, we're going to withdraw your money unless you stop promoting heterosexual families in the parts of Poland that said that's what they're going to do. You know, this is the reason why Hungary is now having a referendum on what parents want their children to be taught, because parents don't want their children to be taught to be homosexual. It's something that people can decide to be once they are an adult, but to be deciding to be that and claiming that you have a child that is a homosexual who is prepubescent, or to be claiming that you have a child that is transgender and can make decisions to go on a pathway that's going to leave them infertile and unable to enjoy sex and will ensure that they have to have surgery in an attempt to keep up with the changes to their body through taking estrogen, changes to the body that they won't actually make them happy because they can't change their bone structure, they can't change their hips, they can't change their hand size, they can't change their feet size, they can't change the XY chromosomes. And when they realize that there are all these parts of the body that they can't actually change, they look at themselves and they think, well, what am I left with? What a mess I've made of my body. And then they end up feeling suicidal. It's the ones that actually go through this pathway that are the ones that end up sadly killing themselves. It's not the ones that were helped and encouraged to be happy within the bodies that they're actually in. And the rest of the world sees this. The rest of the world sees this going on, and they say, well, we don't want anything to do with this. And a lot of the Western world sees this going on and says, we don't want anything to do with this. This is why Hungary is against it. This is why Poland is against it. And when you look at places like France and Britain and America, I think most of the time the parents don't realize that this is actually going on, that there's a big movement in America at the moment of parents that are only just realizing what their children are accessing in the school libraries there, where you've got books, again, children's books for 9 and 10 year olds that talk about pedophilia, that talk about older men sexually abusing younger boys, and they talk about the younger boys enjoying it. Promotional books to promote pedophilia, books which have been given high reviews in the top newspapers over there. There's two of these books that have now been removed. And then you can compare that with this move to declare that parents that come into the parent-teacher associations complaining about this stuff should be labeled as domestic terrorists. So the people that actually speak up against this are made out to be the bad guys. This is what's going on in the West. And as I've been pointing out here, this has been going on for 20 years. I mean, it's been 20 years that the West had occupied Afghanistan for. And straight away, this ruling that child abusers should be executed, that was overturned. As we learned yesterday, there was a big increase in the numbers of this Bakabazi that was actually going on, and that's been going on for 20 years. And now, thankfully, the Afghans have managed to get their country back, but the people that were involved in this child abuse, they're going to be wanting to be fleeing the country. And we're being told that we should allow these people to come into our countries. Well, I just hope that the ones that are coming in, that they are being very, very carefully vetted, and they're not letting in any of the police. I mean, we're being told that it's the translators, but just how many translators were there for the British Army? I mean, there can't have been that many that were translators. And I bet it's not just the translators. I bet it's anybody that was actually working with the occupation that knew a bit of English will be saying that they were a translator. And how long will it be before we begin to hear of children being abused again? As I mentioned yesterday, there was that sickening case in a swimming pool in Austria, and the defense was that it was a sexual emergency because the guy hadn't had sex for 6 weeks. And that's very similar to this police chief that we heard about yesterday, that said, well, what else is he supposed to do? Who else is he supposed to do it to, if not to a young boy? I mean, that is the mentality of some of these people. There is a very, very big difference between our culture and their culture. And when you mix the peoples up together, you end up with friction, you end up with problems. I guess in Afghanistan, the Afghans are aware of this problem, so they protect their children from it. They're aware of this. But we don't live alongside this in Britain or in America. So we are not used to the ways that the Afghans know how to protect their children, because they're on the lookout for it in Afghanistan. But how many people in the West are on the lookout for this? There is such a difference between peoples, and mixing them all together within one territory is just guaranteed to cause friction. And that's the reason why we talk about this, because we want the policies changed. We're not talking about it because we hate these people or anything like that. We are talking about this because we want our government to change its policies. Because if it doesn't change its policies, we're going to be a minority within our own countries within 40 years. That's the way that the demographics are going. That is what we are concerned about. The last thing in the world we want to do is to make people hate anyone. We want to change our government's policy. And that's why we talk about this. And we need to talk about it, because it's not going to be talked about on the mainstream media. And it's very important that people are made aware of this, so that we can hold our governments to account, so that we can encourage them to change their policies, and so that we can get more involved within our own communities to make sure that things like this cannot affect us and cannot hurt us, and that our children aren't going to be affected by this. You know, the solution to all of this is changing government policy and getting more involved with your community, getting active with your community. And if you're just starting to wake up to ethnic identity, then obviously I recommend that you get in touch with Patriotic Alternative, get in touch with your local regional group, where you will meet like-minded people and you will learn more about your heritage and your duties as a nationalist, and you can take part in activism to encourage the government to change its policies. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.